just when the homosexuals thought it was safe to turn on the radio, we're back.
Or come out of the closet, even.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. This is Bob Inyar, America's right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host.
And I'm Doug McBurney, sitting in again for the Friday night festivities right here at Bob Inyar Live. I'm the host of the Weekly Worldview at KGOV.com. Glad to be in studio again, Bob.
It's so good to have you, Doug, on Friday nights where we loosen up a bit.
Yeah, it's always a good time.
Let down my hair.
Yeah.
It doesn't even reach my ears, but I let it down.
No, we don't let any hippies in this here studio now.
That's right.
Bob, I heard that you are... My voice right now is booming across the Permian Basin of West Texas.
Oh, you're talking about Midland,
K-Quad,
Texas.
Yeah, K-Quad.
And Odessa. Quad-K.
Quad-K, even.
And that's right. And you grew up near there.
I grew up near there. I spent some of my formative years in a little town south of Midland, Odessa, that no one's ever heard of. Even the people in Midland, Odessa have never even heard of it.
What's the town?
It's called McCamey, Texas.
McCamey, Texas.
Yeah. All right. So I grew up there. It's great to be on.
And you called it the Permian Basin.
The Permian Basin, yeah.
A lot of people wouldn't know why you called it that.
The Permian Basin. It's awesome. It all used to be underwater. It was the Permian Sea. It was all underwater.
Yeah, so was the whole world. So what's the point?
Okay. All right. Well, I guess you got me there.
But it's funny because no matter where you go in the world, you go to the Sahara Desert, and the geologists that write about the Sahara Desert, they say, this formed from a flood. And you wouldn't think that for a desert, but the evidence is overwhelming, just like all over the world.
Right, right. Well, one of the things that me and my brother and my friends used to do when we were kids was we would hike out to the mesas, and we would climb up to the top and look for sand dollars. Which are from the ocean, and they're really hard to find good ones. So.
Right. But every major mountain range in the world has seashells and fish and fossils on top of the mountains.
Yeah, even down in the Permian Basin.
Doug, good news out of Pakistan. They got an indictment for one of those.
Pakistan, an indictment?
One of those terrorists.
Okay. Well, now, was this the guys who killed the Washington... No, not Washington. The Wall Street Journal reporter, Daniel Pearl.
Yeah, that's right. Muslim extremist Ahmed Omar Saeed Sheikh Salih Muhammad bin Allah Momar Ali Abdul Abdullah was indicted Thursday in the kidnapping.
Praise the Lord. That's awesome.
That is good. Boy, that's some proper name, huh? Ahmed Omar Saeed Ahmed Omar Saeed Sheikh Salih Muhammad bin Allah Momar Ali Abdul Abdullah.
I thought I heard Sheikh in there twice and Muhammad.
No. Omar and Momar.
Okay.
You know, and you got the Omar and the Momar.
And Abdul Abdullah.
Abdul Abdullah.
Oh, okay.
Muhammad Idrul Abdullah.
Well, I'm kind of glad, Bob, that they've brought an indictment against him in Pakistan.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great if they just killed them there?
Well, they very well may. I think we got a better chance of getting an execution in Pakistan, even though it's...
I know, but they said when they're done with them, they'll send them to the U.S., and hopefully that's just his corpse. But it probably won't be. And then what we'll do if we convict him is maybe we'll set him up so he could be a full-time missionary for Islam.
Sure, right there in the prison.
And convert the disenfranchised in prison. Yep. For 30 years, we'll pay a full... missionary salary.
Well,
room and board.
From what I understand, when they finish with you in Pakistan at trial, there's not much to send back.
Well, let's hope.
Yeah, let's hope.
All right.
All right, let's see here. So do we want to go to the phones or do you want to... I wanted to ask you about a story.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've talked about it this week. I only get to hear the first half hour of your show.
We have callers. We haven't even given out the number yet.
We haven't given out the number. The number, by the way, is 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. I sure would like to hear from the Permian Basin. I want to hear if there's any of my friends from high school who converted and they happen to be listening to this Christian station, give me a call. Let me know I'm not alone out here.
That's right.
We was a bunch of heathens in high school, I tell you about.
That's right. And if you can't get it through on that number, try our 1-888-8-ENYART.
888-836-9278. Write it down, even if you're driving. Just, you know, one arm on the wheel, scribble it down. Anyway, I read a story that was shocking. I had a friend of mine come and throw the newspaper on my desk at work this week, and he said, you better read this story because you're in it.
Uh-oh.
And usually I'm excited about that because, you know.
When you're in a story.
Yeah, when you're in a story, it's exciting. But it turns out that the Denver Police Department has been keeping files on peaceful protest groups. Have you heard about this?
Well, this is sort of like the Filegate story of the Clinton years.
Sure, a lot of
only
files
it's a local built. Denver file. They're keeping files on people who protest.
Right, right. Which, you know.
Big wad of files they got.
And I'm sure they got a thick stack.
And it's mostly about us and our friends.
That's right. Not only are we in the story, we practically are the story. But you know what upsets me, Bob?
What?
Even though that we and our friends and our protest activities probably make up the bulk of their file.
Right.
They've got a couple.
Undoubtedly. Without any doubt.
Names, addresses, dates, times.
Right.
We've been arrested, me and Bob, even together by the Denver police.
In fact, at the Capitol.
At the Capitol.
We were there. We were there at some event, and we had abortion signs.
Anti-abortion signs.
Of babies that were slaughtered.
That's right.
And we were saying, do you remember what we were saying?
We were saying,
know your abortion rights.
Know
that's
your
all we were saying.
Rights. Yeah, that's right. That's all
we were saying. Pro-choice. Pro-choice. Know your abortion rights. And the liberals were berserk with anger.
They went into a frenzy. It was like a wilding
and
around
so
us.
The cops arrested us at this public event just on public property.
To save our lives.
To save our lives. And they put us in a holding tank in the Capitol basement.
Yeah.
And my son, and then they went out to continue their whatever.
To continue their work.
To.
Yeah, yeah.
And then my cell phone started ringing.
Right.
And we're handcuffed. But one way or another, we answered the phone.
Yeah, and that was, hopefully they didn't have a videotape going.
And we actually went to trial.
Yes, we did.
A jury trial.
A jury trial.
We were being tried together, and we won. The judge.
We won. The judge was drinking vodka during the whole thing, and she lost control of the case.
That's pretty much the case. There was a guy in a courtroom, or was it a guy?
Yeah.
Who said, this judge used to drink in my uncle's bar. She's got DUI. She's a drunk. She'd drink there 4 or 5 nights a week. She'd get plastered on margaritas. And that judge had good hearing.
Yes, she did.
She
I remember
was really
that.
In a bad mood.
So we're just telling this story from memory. We haven't actually seen the files. But my friend, who does a fair amount of protesting himself, I couldn't tell if he was upset by the story or not, but I tried to make the point that I think it's a common sense thing for the government to keep tabs on peaceful protesters. And anyone who's protesting illegal activity, you know.
Well, let's say an extremist imam at who's converting people to Islam.
Yeah, one of those guys.
At your local mosque, and he's an extremist, the type that sort of likes the terrorist groups.
Sure, yeah.
Well, I'm all for the government keeping tabs on him.
That's right.
And the people he hangs out with.
Right.
That's fine. What's so bad about that? If you're not doing anything criminal, I mean, your life's on the internet anyway.
Sure.
Don't be paranoid. So
exactly.
What?
Well, this is the ACLU, and they're paranoid. But what really upsets me, Bob, is even though we make up the bulk of the file, they've got a couple of 3 pages on Amnesty International. They get all the ink. That's what the whole story's about,
right.
Is how they're hounding Amnesty International.
Exactly.
When it's really us.
Right.
Everybody knows that.
We never get our due.
800-836-9278.
Some people believe that Christians can speak in tongues. Some people believe that speaking in tongues has passed away. Are we saved by grace alone, or are there works involved? Some people believe that miracles are happening today. Others don't. How can all these disagreements come from the Bible if it's the inspired Word of God? Is there an answer to all these questions? In his book, The Plot, Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church, shows you the one Bible verse that solves all the apparent contradictions. Think that one verse can't solve these complex problems? Get The Plot today, and if you're not convinced, we will refund your money. Order The Plot for $29.95. Does God want the government to execute criminals? The Old Testament supports the death penalty, but now we are to turn the other cheek, right? The New Testament material concerning the death penalty starts in Matthew and continues through all the Gospels, Acts and Romans. It goes all through to Revelation. God and the Death Penalty is the video we've produced to arm you with the New Testament support for executing criminals. If the death penalty is immoral, then what does that say of God the Father demanding that Jesus Christ die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins? God and the Death Penalty, a 2-hour video exploring the biblical support of the death penalty, is available for $24.95 by calling 1-888-8-ENYART. Bob Enyart Live is back on the air, but to stay on the air and grow, we need to hear from you. We offer many products with Bob's insightful and unique biblical perspective. If you appreciate Bob's ministry, let us know by writing us at Bob Benyart Live, P.O. Box 583, Arvada, Colorado 80001, or go online to kgov.com.
Welcome back, Bob Benyart Live, 1-888-836-9278.
And Bob, I wanted to read an email.
Yeah.
You know, I've been working at this talk show host thing for a little while, and I know you've been at it for a dozen years or more.
Yeah, something like that.
And, you know, I've always thought that one way to rate a talk show host.
To rate them.
To judge them.
All right.
If you're one who judges, does things like that. If you wanted to, you know, rate them on a scale from 1 to 10 or so, you do it based on the ability of the host to communicate with people who disagree with him.
Oh, when they disagree.
Right, right.
Can you reach him?
Right. You know, can you reach people who don't share your worldview? Well, I got an email from Barbara in Arkansas.
Oh, Barbara, who called last week saying about Andrea Yates that Barbara's a Christian, she believes in the Bible, she believes in the death penalty, and she said, but Andrea Yates should be found not guilty. She should be found not guilty. It was devastating to hear that Christians are being seduced by the media.
Yeah, this is that same Barbara.
Yeah.
Well, she says, Bob, I just need to say that I was wrong about Andrea Yates.
Oh,
that's
wow.
That's her opening line.
Wow.
Yeah, after her introducing herself. She says, after our discussion on your program Monday night, I prayed about this issue. I haven't slept for two nights because I've struggled with this.
Wow.
The Lord kept bringing into my mind, the scriptures that you quoted me. You quoted her some scriptures.
Yeah, well, sure, of course. We do that occasionally.
Bob's been known to do that upon occasion. And they even keep people awake at night after, apparently. Yeah. Yeah, she says, I've repented of my wrong belief concerning this case. Andrea Yates should get the death penalty. She knew what she was doing, and she planned it. You were right. The media did influence my belief concerning this. Thanks, Bob. Barbara.
Wow.
How about that? Huh?
You know, that really is exciting, turning people around. And you don't always get the chance to turn the caller around, but there's so many people in the audience that you right. might be able to strengthen them and build them up. Let's go here to Pennsylvania. John, you're on with Bob and Doug.
Hi, Bob.
Howdy.
I just wanted to say how much I appreciate what you do with your show.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I mean, you know, I see a lot of Christians out there. They're too much afraid to take a stand for what we believe in.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of timidity in the church, and we try to encourage people to be bold. To say homosexuality is wrong. Homosexuals are sinning, and they need to repent, and they're in big trouble.
Definitely.
Hey, John.
Yeah?
Hey, John, this is Doug. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Hey, what do you think is at the root of the timidity and the spinelessness of the Christians these days, the whole Christian church?
I'd probably say it's wicked telling us how to interpret the Bible. And they're saying, you know, thou shalt not judge, you know, when they misinterpret the quotes.
Yeah, that's definitely a misinterpreted quote. In fact, I've never heard it misinterpreted quite so well as you just did. That was excellent.
It's aimed at a hypocrite if you read the entire context of it.
Right. So I think that's, you know what I think the key is to the problem, John, is there's an awful lot of Christians who haven't actually read the Bible. They've read things about the Bible, they've heard things about the Bible, but they haven't actually read the Bible.
And that leads to frustration. And so many people sit in pews in churches, and Doug, my mom went with these other Christian women to this big Christian event in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And they were driving home, four of them in a car, big all-day event. And my mom was somewhat let down by it. And she asked the other women, she said, well, what did we learn today?
Yeah.
And there was quite a long pause. And one of them said, well, we learned that we should love God. And my mother said, didn't we already know that?
Hopefully they had some inkling.
Didn't we already know that? Why is it that we learn that every time that we go to church and we learn that God has a plan for our lives?
Yes, yes, yes.
Like, and
we should love God, and God is love, by the way.
Yeah, and yep. All this love is making me sick. Somebody's got to tell the world that it's going to hell in a handbasket, and that means there's a lot of individuals headed to hell.
Yeah.
Including homosexuals and pro-aborts and evolutionists, atheists.
Amen.
United Methodists.
No, hold on now.
Well, at least some of them.
At least some of them.
The pastor of the United Methodist Church in Arvada.
Well, that's for sure.
You know, Easter's coming up. My son went to his church a couple years ago Easter.
Yeah.
Hey, John, I want to thank you for calling in.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
God bless you, John. Thanks.
Doug, Easter's coming up. My son Nathaniel came home and said, Dad, this was Easter Sunday morning at United Methodist Church.
Resurrection Sunday.
Resurrection Sunday, and the pastor from the pulpit in his sermon said, I have to admit that the resurrection story in the Bible really embarrasses me.
Oh, at which point lightning shot down, right? And the earth opened up and sucked him alive down into hell.
Right. And, you know, my kids from when they were young have done a funny thing.
Yeah.
The pastor in, I think the same sermon was talking about some social issue.
Well, I'm sure.
And he said, you know, sometimes it takes a child to raise a village.
Oh,
and my two sons were in the back of the church, and they looked at each other, and they said, oh. Whenever somebody makes a really deep, stupid point, from when they were kids, they go, oh. Sometimes it takes a child to save a village.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He's embarrassed. He's the pastor of the United Methodist Church. He's embarrassed by the resurrection story because most of them don't believe in the resurrection.
They're at not only the United, not to just paint only United Methodists,
but a lot of
plenty of denominations out there.
Yeah, a lot of mainstream Protestant denominations.
I mean, and if you're shying away from the resurrection in your evangelical mission, how good do you think they're going to do at getting anything done on a spiritual level when the resurrection makes them nervous?
Mm-hmm.
It's just embarrassing. Mm-hmm. But, well, that's why we're on the air, and that's why we've taken to the airwaves down there in the mighty Permian Basin. A lot of Permian Panther fans down there.
Oh, really?
Oh, the Permian Panthers are huge. Oh.
All right.
I mean, and they're physically large. It's a football team there. High school football is really big in the Permian Basin because there's nothing else to do.
Right.
No, I'm just kidding. I grew up there, and I had a great time out amongst the mesas and the rattlesnakes and everything else. But I'm glad I moved up here with you to do the show.
Well, me too, Doug. Let's go to Florida.
All right.
Richard, you're on with Bob and Doug.
Hi, Bob and Doug.
Hi, Richard.
Hey, I'd like to ask you guys a few questions. They're kind of deep, so just for the sake of time, could you just give me the short version?
We'll do it.
Deep.
Deep and fat.
Well,
hit us rapid fire.
All right. Why do we pay income tax?
To fund the government.
Okay.
Okay, next question.
What was the reason for the Cold War?
To defeat communism.
Because communists are murderers and thou shalt not steal, said God.
Why is abortion legalized?
Because our government is hard-hearted and rejects thou shalt not murder.
Right, and the masses, the democratic masses, are selfish, willing to put their life before the lives of innocent children.
All right, next question.
Why are non-pharmaceutical drugs like marijuana and cocaine illegal?
Because society doesn't have to put up with people becoming a risk to others. For example, you get high because you take crack cocaine, and then you become a risk to all those around you. You might set your living room on fire in an apartment complex, and you think it's really funny. And then the kids upstairs die, and you were giggling throughout the night. That's why we don't want to, we don't have to put up with the risk of potheads and addicts getting high.
Okay, one more. Why are these athletes and entertainers make these ridiculous amounts of salaries?
Because people pay to see them, and everybody in that whole deal makes money, including the athlete.
And, Richard, I would imagine if somebody wanted to pay you $5 million a year, you would take it, and you wouldn't think it was ridiculous.
Yeah. Guys, with all honesty, I cannot give you guys a good grade on these, your answers.
Well, if you were the judge, I'd be really concerned. But since you're not the judge, I'm not worried.
Okay.
But you know what Jesus said? He said, don't be envious. If somebody's making way more money than you are, don't be envious. I'm happy. John Elway, he makes tens of millions of dollars. I'd rather live near people making millions than just poor people.
Oh, yeah.
Because only poor people live near poor people.
Exactly.
But when there's a wealthy person in town, like I grew up with a millionaire who owned a restaurant down the street, and he put me and all my friends to work, and we all made good money, bought cars, and started our lives thanks to a millionaire who was very successful. Very few poor people employ many people and give them good careers.
Guys,
Richard, why?
Can I give you the quickie, the real answers to these questions?
Well, go ahead. We'll
the
debate
real answers.
You. Go ahead.
Fast.
Okay, we do not pay income tax to generate revenue to the government. That is a fallacy. The reason we pay income tax is to maintain the value of the currency.
You're losing me, man. I'm falling asleep here, dude. You're going to have to move on.
Okay.
All right. That's the real truth.
Hey, Richard.
Yes.
We could debate the finer points of IRS and the Federal Reserve and all, and of course we'd lose our audience.
Yeah.
But in the Bible, God dealt with the problem of a centralized raising of money. He dealt with that problem, and he came up with a mechanism to do that for Israel. They had to raise money for the central pool, and he said, give a percentage of your income. Because God could have put a sales tax, he could have put a value-added tax, he could have done it with import duties, but he said, you all have a responsibility to fund the priesthood. In our case, we all have the responsibility to fund the government, and the only moral way to do it is an income tax. That's it. There is no other moral way to raise taxes to run a government.
What do you think of God's opinion on the income tax, Richard? Does that matter to you? Or?
Well, you guys are not seeing the psychological manipulation of this.
That's been the story of my life, Richard. I got to admit that.
Hey, Richard, have you considered in your life that God in the Bible dealt with the problem of how to raise money for a centralized national function? Have you considered that?
Well, we used to have before the past.
No, I didn't ask you that, Richard. I asked you, have you considered that God dealt with this issue in the Bible and that he came up with a mechanism to do it? Have you considered that?
There is...
If you don't answer my question, then I'll go on.
Bob, you're not relating well to the disagreeable caller.
No. Richard, you can talk about something else if you want to, but first answer my question.
Did God deal this in the Bible? Well, show me where.
Okay, in the Bible, God had a problem to solve. It was, how do I raise money from everybody in the nation to fund a centralized function?
Okay, but they did not have paper money in...
They had gold and silver coins. They had shekels. They had all kinds of... What are you talking about? That's irrelevant.
It's very irrelevant.
So this is what God said. He didn't say have a sales tax or have an import duty. That would give other countries control over your military spending. Mm-hmm. God said, have an income tax. That's the way God solved the problem, and any other solution to the problem is immoral and foolish.
Bob and Doug, we're going into rabbit trails here.
This is
my point here is that you guys, and I don't mean this to come hard on you, okay?
Thank you.
I want to...
Don't worry, we can put up with it.
Okay.
We can deal with it.
I want you guys to look at the bigger picture.
Okay.
I know the story, Richard.
Don't take things at face value.
Richard, the story you want to tell,
wait.
I've been aware of that story for 15 years. And I'm not saying the Federal Reserve is good. It's never been audited. I'm not saying the IRS is good. It should be abolished. But the jihad against income tax is completely misguided.
Hmm.
All right. And we're going to have to go to the news here.
Richard, before we go to the break, have you paid your taxes this year?
Yes.
Did you pay your taxes last year?
Yes.
Do you believe the income tax is immoral?
Yes.
Then you're a hypocrite. You shouldn't be paying them.
I'm a hypocrite.
Oh, no, well, I'm just kidding. I know. You don't want to go to prison like me.
Yeah, that's
no,
true.
But I can look, it's not, I don't want to get in too deep on the question.
Sorry, we'll keep fighting during the news.
All lines are busy at this time. For updated information on Bob's national tour and ShadowGov demonstrations, press 1. For Bob's mailing address, press 2. And if you're an atheist, an anarchist, an evolutionist, a humanist, a communist, a socialist, a garden variety, sodomite, a Democrat, or a transgendered freak of nature, press 3. If you're ordering by credit card, please leave your name and phone number, and your call will be returned.
Yeah, you must be them Inyong people! Well, I'm not like any of those things that I just heard in that list of things he just said. I'm not an evolutionist or nothing like that. But I would just want to know if you're the guy I've seen on Politically Incorrect. Yeah, that's it. I just wanted to tell you that I think you guys rock. You guys are really cool, and you need to keep up the good work. So this is George from Jersey. Out.
Hi, I'm a garden variety sodomite and a transgendered freak of nature, and I'd really love a call back from... from Bob Inyart, so if you could give me a buzz, my name's Cody Lightholt. My phone number is 7. I'd really appreciate being straightened out because I'm sick of being a dirty fag. So thanks a bunch, Bobby. Talk to you later.
Hey, Mr. Inyart, I have actually viewed your website, and then I saw you on Politically Incorrect 3 times, and, well, I don't know what to say about you. All I can say is that I had an uncle that died of AIDS. I'm sure you refer to it as the gay plague. All I can say is that the majority of gays in this country are better people than you. Better than you or any other thing that you could ever be. I hate you, and I wish you had cancer.
I have never in my life heard such a hypocrite as this Bob Inyart. How in the world do you dare put him on the air? How can he judge anybody? He is terrible. You ought to be ashamed to even have him walking around.
Hey, Bob, I'm drunk. And guess what? God ain't gonna help me on this one. Take a guess of what I'm drinking. I'm drinking some vodka and some strawberry crush, buddy. Let me tell you what. I bet you're against too, right? Yeah, let me tell you something. Oh, yeah, and juice, too. Guess what, Bob Inyart? I'll tell you something. Bob Inyart, guess what? I'm really seriously drunk, but anyhow. Check it out, though. So, I'm a garden variety sodomite. Bob Inyart. Check that, Bob.
Hey, Doug, it turns out that Richard from Florida is a hit.
He's a hit, I know. he's got fans already.
Other callers, like Dave in Kansas, other callers want to talk about Richard.
They want to talk about Richard, so I was going to dump him in the break, but now we've got to bring him back because he's got his own legion of fans.
He's a nice guy, but I want to ask him a question. Maybe he could answer quickly.
All right.
If we didn't use the income tax, which God in the Bible presents as his method,
right,
the fair... in the way it works, what income tax, what form of taxation does Richard recommend? Richard, could you answer that question first? How do you think the government should be funded?
Bob, if we, well, it would take a long time to explain, but let me
well,
give you...
Well, no, Richard, I put you on hold again. You could say sales tax, you could say value-added tax, you could say import duty. Just how should it be funded, if not by income tax? Richard?
Let me give you the... All right. If we were to take away the income tax, we would still be paying tax because the real tax...
Yeah, we know that. We know that.
...is creating money out of nothing.
Okay, Richard, we'll talk about all that on some other show. But how should it be funded?
Take away the Federal Reserve and bring an honest...
how should it be funded? How should the government...
Money backed by gold.
How should the... That's not what I asked you. Why are you so incapable?
Where am I missing you?
Hey, Richard, let me just mediate here before we have a fist fight going.
Repeat my question to
Richard. Richard, how should the government gather money to build roads?
How should it be funded?
To build roads.
Through honest means.
How should it be funded?
That's kind of vague, Richard. Come on.
Richard, I think you're afraid to offer any suggestion other than an income tax because you know you'll be demolished.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Okay, I'll answer the question. People who are against income tax say a few different things. One, they say we should have a national sales tax.
I've heard that one.
The problem with that is the government does not have the right to coerce you into becoming a tax collector.
Right. Every store owner who collects sales tax is, in effect, a tax collector for the
government has no right to enslave people to become tax collectors. And believe me, business owners hate being tax collectors.
They do.
They have no right to do that. Not only that, when you're funded by a sales tax or a value-added tax, then what happens is that strangers conspire together to defraud the government a million times a day.
Right, by exchanging goods and services under the table.
Under the table, a black market, and the system should not be designed to encourage strangers to defraud the government.
Right, everyone.
And that's what
a
sales tax does. And an import duty, that gives other countries in the world control over your military spending.
Right, if they embargo and they're not importing anymore, you're
right,
not collecting
then
tariffs.
Then our military goes bankrupt. And
wow.
God in the Bible said an income tax is it's the way he decided. So, yes, the Federal Reserve is no good because it's not audited and we could debate all that stuff. And, yes, the IRS should be abolished.
Right.
But, no, you should not have a holy war against income tax.
Bob, I think need to go to Richard's number one fan, Dave, in Kansas.
Dave, you're on with Bob and you're at live.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Judging by Richard, I listen to a lot of you. First of all, I got to commend you guys. You are the lone outpost in conservative talk radio that makes sense.
Lone
wow.
outpost.
the lone outpost.
Wow.
The lone outpost. I listen to a lot of talk radio. As I've mentioned to you before, I'm a dish head, and I like to listen to a lot of the different talk radio shows.
All right.
There are some blithering nutcases out there.
What are you going to do? Anyway, yeah. Dave, we thought you were Richard's biggest fan.
Well, you know, I think Richard, when he asked you, you know, originally why we pay an income tax, I think the answer he was wanting, and I'm not meaning to belittle him, but probably, you know, to fund the hiding of Elvis at Area 51 or something.
That's what he was. This is one of his Art Bell caller or something.
Something
through.
Like that.
Right. And you know what? A lot of conservatives can't separate in their minds their hatred for the Federal Reserve and their hatred from the IRS to the principle of an income tax. They
yeah.
can't separate those because they so obsessively hate, and I hate the IRS.
Sure.
And I despise the Federal Reserve.
And the graduated tax and the tax rates.
Yeah, right. The tax rates and the progressive income tax. It's all evil.
Sure.
But can't they separate that from the principle of an income tax versus every other unjust form of taxation and see in the Bible that God gives his stamp of approval on an income tax? So all the stupid liberal ideas that are out there of alternative taxes, forget those. Do it God's way. Have a cap of 5%. That's it on a sales tax.
Well, as a business owner, I collect sales tax, and I despise it. I hate it.
Yeah.
So so do we. We hate it with a passion.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know what, Dave? I got a confession to make.
What's that?
Before I met Bob Enyart, I didn't know that God advocated an income tax.
I didn't know that. You're not alone.
And I think maybe Richard, earlier on, you might have caught him by surprise by telling him that God advocates an income tax.
Yeah, he apparently had never thought about
that. Because he said, where? You know?
Hey, Doug, there's a guy in the country who is the nation's leading defender of the national sales tax. That's his entire life. He runs the company, the organization that supports that.
Right.
And I debated him on the show a whole hour one time.
Yeah.
And I promised the audience in advance that he would be slaughtered. And he's the expert. And I spend about 1,000th of my time thinking about this stuff.
Yeah, right.
And this is what he does for a living. So he came on the show, and he advocates a national sales tax. First question I asked him, does the government have the right to force men to become tax collectors? And he said, well, no.
Uh-oh.
Change careers, buddy. Yeah. Change careers. You're messing up everybody you have influence over because the government doesn't have the right. You just admitted it. You lost a debate. What should we talk about?
First sentence. Played
yeah,
any golf lately?
That debate, actually.
You do, Dave.
I do.
And that was maybe
he
2 years ago or so.
Squashed him like a bug.
Squashed him like a bug, he says.
It was fun. Hey, thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
God
Bye-bye.
Bless you. Hey, Doug, this topic, whenever you come within a
taxes.
Light year of this topic, it goes crazy. Let's go to
right.
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
Jack.
Bob.
Yes, Jack.
How you doing?
Great.
You know, just about a year ago, probably a year and 2 or 3 months ago, right here in Massachusetts, just outside of Boston,
yeah,
there was some employer,
yeah.
and he thought that the government could force him to become a tax collector for the government.
Yeah.
And so he started collecting taxes from one particular man who was employed there.
This is going to have a funny
thing. Yeah.
Hey, listen, and this man, I kept saying, you can't take taxes out of my check. You can't take money out of my check. You're stealing it from me. You have no right to do it. You've not been officially sanctioned by the government to do it. Why are you doing this?
Uh-huh.
And the employer kept taking money out of his paycheck.
Okay, Jack, do it more quickly.
Well, also, so to make a long story short.
Yeah, good.
The government cannot force an employee or a shopkeeper or an employer to be a tax collector. But this guy was doing that. He was taking money out of this guy's check, and the guy went in there and shot him and seven other people, shot him to death.
Uh huh.
Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't hear about that.
And he says you're stealing money from me.
It's a great tragedy. Of course, that guy didn't have any right to work for that employer. He didn't have a right to work for any particular employer. So it's all a mess. You know, when the government's broken, the laws are broken, the people break, and it's all a mess in every direction.
Yeah.
I mean, that story doesn't really advocate, doesn't make the point that the withholding tax is right or wrong.
Right, true.
It's just a tragic story. And when the government does wrong, people go ballistic.
They freak out. They can't take it. It's too much pressure.
That's right. Just like when the government says adultery's legal.
Yeah.
Well, then women will sleep around, and their husbands will go ballistic and shoot them.
Yes.
It's not that the husband murdering the wife makes the point, but when the laws break, the people break.
And they're broken.
Hey, thank you, Jack.
Adios.
Thanks for telling us.
Adios from Massachusetts, huh? I would have expected to hear that from Texas. We got a lot of story, a lot of news out of Texas, but nobody's calling from the Permian Basin. Maybe they don't have cell phones down there yet.
Oh, yes,
we were way behind down there,
Odessa,
Bob.
Come on.
No, I'm telling you, Star Wars was a hit there in 1986.
86.
Oh, huge. We were way behind the time. So there's probably not a lot of people in their cars with phones.
Our number here is 303. Oh, no.
No, it's 800.
That's the number you got to pay.
800-836-9278. That's 800-8-N-Y-A-R-T.
Yeah.
If you want to call. Out of Fort Worth, Bob, I talked to you about this story last week.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't done anything on the air about it, and neither have you, I think, because we suspected that the story might have been embellished. The story of the young woman driving home from a beer and ecstasy party who hit a homeless guy, he was lodged in her windshield,
mm-hmm.
and later died.
Mm-hmm.
And the original story was that he moaned and died and bled for a couple of days. Well, it turns out...
And we didn't do that because it seemed like an exaggeration.
It seemed bizarre to me.
Right.
Well, it seems that according to Tarrant County Coroner Nazim Pirwani, who... Did you know there was a... The coroner up at Waco was named Pirwani.
It's probably a different Pirwani.
Oh, this is Nazim Pirwani. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Same Pirwani.
He says that this homeless guy probably would have died within several hours, no more than one day.
Mm.
And you know what? I couldn't believe it, Bob. The other morning on the national news, the woman's lawyer comes out, and he's actually defending her, saying she didn't allow him to bleed to death and die in her garage for 3 days. At the most, it was one day.
Oh, great.
My client is a wonderful woman.
Right. She's not guilty, and drugs should be legal. Look at that. Florida was right after all.
Can a Christian lie without sinning? If the Nazis were at your door, is it a sin to lie to them so they don't find the family of Jews living in your attic? Was it wrong for the Hebrew midwives to lie to save the Israelite babies in Exodus chapter 1? And if that was immoral, then why did God reward them? Are Christians today nicer than God? Would the average Christian condemn Jesus if he came back today and called people names like swine, Matthew 7, or a dog, Matthew 15, or a snake or a brood of vipers, Matthew 23? Today, that would be considered unchristlike by most Christians, but he said it. And in an effort to make you more Christ-like, we've put together a 6-tape audio album called Nicer Than God. It's available for $29.95. Get the information you won't receive in the average Nicer Than God church. The world we live in is an immoral, disgusting mess. The problems parents face in raising children today are enormous and growing. So to help you in your responsibility to raise godly young men and women, we at Bob Benyard Live are offering the Train Up a Child package. The first item is a 100-page book written by Michael and Debbie Pearl called To Train Up a Child. With over 300,000 copies in print, this is an invaluable resource for parents based on biblical truth, not psychobabble. And always easy to understand and clear-thinking, Pastor Bob Benyard rounds out this teaching tool. Included in the package are two sermons on child-rearing delivered by Pastor Benyard to his congregation in Denver, Colorado. Order the Train Up a Child package for $14.95 and get your child on the right path.
We're back. Bob Benyard Live, 1-800-8-ENYARD, 1-800-836-9278.
Bob, I want to do this story that drives home several of the points that you've been making this evening.
Mm-hmm.
I try to do all these stories on my weekly show.
Yeah.
But I'm finding that you can't do them all.
No.
Dateline McMinnville, Oregon. A father apparently, this is from the AP today, a father apparently shot his four children and his wife to death in their beds, then used the shotgun to kill himself.
Right.
Motive unknown. The children were ages 9 to 15.
This is the Andrea Yates motive. It's right there. What happens is the father wants to either kill his wife or commit suicide.
Right.
And so then he also kills his kids so they don't have to suffer.
Mm.
And really, so he doesn't have to bear with the guilt of them living life with parents who killed themselves or murder-suicide.
Yep.
So it's a total selfish motive. That's why Andrea Yates, she could have just abandoned her family.
Sure, she could have run off.
Right, but she didn't want her kids to deal with the pain of being abandoned by their mother. So she figures, and then that would weigh on her. So for selfishness, she kills him. Yep. She figures, well, in a few minutes it'll be over.
Mm-hmm. Well, I first heard you speak on this just a couple nights ago. I've never heard that analysis. I thought it was brilliant.
That's why the teenager kills his parents, then he kills his brother and sister, little brother and sister. Why does he kill them? Is he mad at them?
No,
he doesn't want them to know that their brother killed their parents.
Yeah.
It's a common motive when people kill siblings and kids.
But what's the deal? I mean,
selfishness.
I guess life is more stressful now here in America these days, but why is this happening more and more and more? Family annihilations.
Murder, suicide,
skyrocketing.
We predicted on the show 100 times, and starting with the national push for legalized suicide, that the more society defends suicide, the more murder-suicide you'll have, and the more teens will commit suicide.
You predicted that 10 years ago on the air?
For 5 years straight, over and over.
And you're being
increased
proven
murder,
right now.
Suicide. We have an epidemic of murder, suicides. Let's go to South Bend, Indiana. Steve, you're on with Bob and Doug.
Hey, Bob, I got a question, comment for you about the income tax. And my question is, if the government has a right to draft you in the Army and make you go to war, why wouldn't they have a right to draft you to collect their income taxes for you? I'll just kind of hang up and listen to what you've got to say.
All right. Thanks, Stevie. Steve hung up.
Okay.
We don't have a draft.
We don't have a draft, unfortunately, no.
We don't have a draft, and in the Bible, God lays out the things that the government has the authority to do. And the government has the authority to tax people, but it doesn't have the authority to enslave people.
Right, or to take money from one group of people and give it to another group of people who did not earn it.
Right.
The government doesn't have that right.
No, that's called stealing.
Yeah.
And so if your taxes are too high, in the book of 1 Samuel, God points out that a 10% tax is onerous. It's tyrannical. 10% is wrong. And in America, we have a 50% tax. 50%.
That's half your stuff.
Right. Imagine if the taxes were as they should be, think of how much you make a year, whatever it is. Let's say, do we have more conservatives or liberals in the audience?
Probably a few more conservatives.
If we have more conservatives, let's say the average, you make $50,000 a year per family.
Well, what if it was liberals?
Liberals, in our age demographic, you make $22,000 a year.
And then you just got out of bed.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And you still got a hangover. Your family makes $50,000 a year. If instead of the government spending half of everything we spend, if it spent 5%,
5%.
That would be like your family now makes $100,000 a year and everything you buy is much cheaper. everything, because everything you buy has the tax code built into it.
That's right.
So imagine doubling your income and cutting prices by a third.
Wow.
Or some significant percent, depending on industry.
Sign me up. What party is that advocating that?
That's the shadow government.
Oh, that's right. It's the shadow government that's in operation.
At shadowgov.com.
Shadowgov.com, yeah. Check it out.
All right.
You still there, Steve?
No, Steve's gone.
Oh, okay.
Steve had his quick comment.
Oh, so still no callers from Texas.
800-8-N-YART, 800-836-9278.
Come on, Permian Basin. Come through for us here in the last 8 minutes of the program. You know what, Bob? You know what depresses me about conservatives?
What?
And conservatism?
What?
And really even Christianity anymore?
What?
Is that we just spent 3 or 4 minutes talking about family annihilation and the fact that the moral fiber of the country is disintegrating and people are exploding and killing each other and themselves. And the first call we got was someone railing about their income taxes. It's just depressing. I mean, where are people's priorities? We've got innocent children being slaughtered in the womb, and mothers and fathers going ballistic, killing their families,
right.
and people are still railing about their taxes.
And it's fine to specialize, because not everybody could be an expert on everything.
No, that's
but
true.
But generally, when God said, do not murder, do not commit adultery, don't steal, don't commit perjury, those are the biggies for a government,
the
criminal
issues.
Justice system, and thou shalt not murder, that's the most important.
Mm-hmm.
That's the number one most important
thing.
But now,
thou shalt not steal is way up there, too.
Yeah, and it's thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor, and then thou shalt not steal.
Okay, so
it's fourth.
It's in the top
because
five.
Because these other three have the death penalty.
Uh-huh.
Right? The other three, if you violate the other three, you can get the death penalty. If you violate the fourth one, it's restitution.
That's right.
So thou shalt not steal. Of course, it's one of the big ten.
Okay.
Okay, in Batavia, New York, Dan speaking.
Hey, gentlemen, how are we doing tonight?
Great.
Great.
Fantastic show. I'm listening on the Sunshine Network.
All right.
The Sunshine Network, man. Batavia, New York is like one of the sunniest spots on the planet. One of the greenest, isn't it?
Well, I don't know about that.
It's beautiful up there. I've driven through that part of the country.
It's cow country.
Gorgeous. Cow country. Yeah.
Yeah.
All green. Cows can eat if they're looking up, looking left, looking right, looking down. They got something to eat.
You said it.
Hey,
listen,
yeah.
One question, a couple questions. Have you ever heard of William Benson by any chance?
William
Benson?
Benson.
Law That Never Was.
I'm sorry.
Oh, the Law That Never Was. I have heard of that.
I have.
And that's about the income tax law.
Yeah, well, just, you know.
Oh,
if you
yeah,
wanted,
that it wasn't ratified properly.
Yeah, if you wanted to listen to somebody that's very interesting, you should talk to him. He was almost killed in prison. The guy's a Christian brother.
I'll have to pull him up on Google.
Hey, Dan.
Yeah.
You've heard of Oliver Wendell Holmes, Jr.?
Very little about him.
Massachusetts Supreme Court justice went to the U.S. Supreme Court. He wrote a book called Common Law.
Right.
And he's worshipped by judges in our legal system. And he was a godless atheist, filthy pervert.
Heathen.
He hated the notion of right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He hated God.
Mm-hmm.
And he believed that only the law mattered. But he wrote a book called Common Law. And for some reason, right-wing extremists like common law. I don't know why.
Well,
I don't see why they wouldn't like God's law.
I like
common law.
Just common
and,
law.
Anyway, this judge, whom I hate, pointed out that it doesn't matter what the law says. It only matters what the judges are expected to do.
It's Oliver Wendell Holmes.
That's all that matters.
That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah, right.
It's evil. It's evil, but it's true.
But
so in America, since judges will put you to jail if you don't pay your income tax because you say it was never really ratified, since all the judges and all the police departments believe it was ratified, it's somewhat of an arcane technicality to say it wasn't ratified, because the people I know, and I know them, who stand on that, they end up without their wives, without their jobs, and without their homes in jail.
Yeah, unfortunately.
It's an interesting gentleman to see how the country is going, though.
Yeah, it is.
No, seriously, if I get a chance, get Mr. Benson on the program. Second, about that one lady, Yates, I
yeah,
guess.
Yeah, I wanted to see how you were going to bring Andrea Yates into this, Dan.
Okay, well, you know, I'm a born-again Christian, been saved for 25 years.
Praise the Lord.
The best moment of my life was February 6, 1978. For
praise the Lord.
Right. And but unfortunately, my family, there's been some mental illness.
Yeah.
And I guess unless you've come from that, you know, to try to understand, obviously she killed the kids.
Yeah, she did, obviously.
I had two family members that were mentally ill, and
yeah,
I'll tell you.
Dan.
Wait, gentlemen. Wait.
No, Dan, I get to interrupt you, right? It's my show. Hey, Dan.
Okay, all right, very good.
I never had anyone molest a child in my family.
Mm-hmm.
But I would still execute the guy with my bare hands. Right. I don't care that I don't have first-hand experience or knowledge.
Know, when you have a family member that all of a sudden goes off the deep end.
And how do you know? You don't know Doug's family or my family. You want to talk about dysfunctional?
Wait, hold on.
You want to talk about dysfunctional. Doug, how many people in your family?
Wait, how many people in my family?
Counting me?
Let's just count the people that were admitted.
This sounds a little biased, doesn't this program here? Gentlemen, I had a mother who was mentally ill, right? And she went off the deep end. Completely different person.
Okay.
And we had to get her into a hospital. And it took a lot of... It was just hard to get the help that she needed.
Dan.
Because of the laws.
Once she got the help, completely... Dan, we're not denying that there is... I don't know if I'd call it mental illness. But
whatever's...
Mental instability...
Chemical imbalance, physical imbalance.
You know, when they said one of my relatives was chemically imbalanced.
Yeah.
After one interview with the psychiatrist.
Sure, yeah.
So I went to the psychiatrist and I said, well, which chemical is out of whack?
There's got to be one or two of them that would be.
Because chemistry is something you could measure.
That's right.
Yeah. And he said, well, we don't know. I said, well, you don't know. What did the test show? Well, we didn't take any tests. Well, how do you know she's has a chemical imbalance? I think it's sin.
I'm really not a very good psychologist.
Well, but that's what they all do.
A very good psychologist.
My mother sells a lot of
prescription
Dan,
drugs.
I want to ask Dan.
Hold.
No, Dan, I want to ask you questions. I put you on hold, Dan. I want to ask you two questions, Dan. Here's my two questions. A mentally retarded guy in a hospital. And his room window is open, and his nurse comes in, and he runs up to her because he wants to hug her, and he knocks her out the window, and she's dead. Should he be prosecuted for murder? Yes or no? It's not a trick question.
I couldn't answer it.
Come on, Dan. He knocked her out of the window by mistake.
Mentally retarded.
He's mentally retarded, knocked her out of the window by accident, wanted to kiss her.
No.
Of course not. Now,
good answer, Dan.
Now you have another mentally retarded guy in the same hospital, same floor, next door. And he doesn't like his nurse. Mm-hmm. He likes the other nurse who doesn't help him. Mm-hmm. So the nurse he doesn't like comes into the room. He picks up a knife and he stabs her 30 times in the chest. Mm-hmm. He's mentally retarded. Right. Should he be charged with murder?
Well, depending on what his mental...
No.
Wait a minute.
You're
asking me a question.
And you failed. You answered it. You're wrong, Dan. He should be charged with murder.
What's his mental age?
It doesn't matter.
Are you going to charge a five-year-old?
I would charge and execute a seven-year-old.
And execute.
Like we have kids who are murderers. In fact, we have an epidemic of kids who become rapists and murderers because liberals, they have such compassion on the children. God never authorized a juvenile justice system.
No, not at all.
God never said, have lesser punishments for younger people. Because when you do that, you'll lower the threshold for them to become murderers and rapists.
Which we can see is happening more and more. Dan, you brought up some great issues. I'm glad Dan got through from Batavia.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he said he didn't have a chance to answer. He did answer.
He answered.
He said, what's the mental state? It does not matter. Remember in England, those kids on the railroad tracks that beat their little friend to death?
Right.
How old were those kids?
8 and 9 years old, and they beat a four-year-old to death.
And you've got kids who are raping children who are 8, 9, 10 years old, raping girls in their neighborhood or family members.
Yeah.
You got young kids beating up or killing teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is, if you didn't have this liberal juvenile justice mentality,
right,
then you wouldn't have an epidemic of kids committing crimes.
The criminal justice system needs to let everyone know what will not be tolerated. And there's just there's way too much tolerance going on, especially in the juvenile justice system.
Right. Exactly. Hey, Doug, we had funny instant messages during the show.
Yeah. But no calls from the Permian Basin.
Nope, that's true.
Hit me with it. You got any good ones up there right now?
Well, somebody pointed out the McKenzie Brothers comedians.
McKenzie Brothers,
eh? What are their first names?
Bob and Doug.
Bob and Doug.
Take off, eh?
That's right. And somebody in Indiana pointed out that Charles Manson was far more insane than Yates. So is he not guilty? And how about Hitler? And how about Osama?
Oh.
Thanks, Doug. Does Bob Inyart remind you to do right and risk the consequences? Do right.